us to move off of the truth, to get us to compromise those things in which we've been brought up, those things in which we've been taught in the Word of God. So if there ever was a day that God's people need to stand up for the Lord and say, "Here I stand, nothing's going to move me," it's in this hour in which we're living right now. And with that in mind, turn, if you will, to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, you say, "Preacher, it's been 4 or 5 Sundays now. You've been on this prophecy kick. What's going on? Can't you preach anything different except talking about the end time and the rise and the fall of the world?" That's what Daniel chapter 7 is about. It's about the rise and the fall of the world. And yes, there's a lot I'd like to preach about. There's a lot, Lord willing, I will preach about in the coming weeks and months. But friends, and you'll say, "Oh, I've heard this all my life. When I was a child growing up, 75 years ago, I heard preachers stand up and preach, 'Jesus is coming, might be today.' But I haven't seen him yet." Well, never in the last 75 years have we been living in a time like we're living in today. The world has not been in the chaos and the turmoil that it's in today since World War II. And the world is in chaos. The world is in turmoil. The world is boiling. All of it, like a time bomb ticking. We've never lived in days like we live in today. Can any of you even think about a time whenever our country might go bankrupt? We can't pay our debts. I never heard that. I heard when I was growing up, they talked about communism, and they talked about the Iron Curtain, and talked about Russia might come over and get us, but never was there a time whenever there was even a thought that came into my mind or anybody else that I knew that this country, the United States of America, would be teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. That those of us who get our Social Security might not get it anymore. And you know what that means. If they stop Social Security, you folks will never get rid of me here, because I'll have to work till my toes turn up, till I'm dead. So what about this rise and the fall of the world? Why are we looking at the book of Daniel? I'm looking at it because the book of Daniel is probably one of the most thrilling books in the Old Testament. I mean, don't you? Nobody knows who Buck Rogers is. But when I grew up, I had plenty of funny books about Buck Rogers. He went off to the future in this flying rocket ship that he had. And I'm still like that. I still like science fiction. I still love these books on, can't even think of the name, so let them go. But all of us are interested. You say, "I'm not interested in the future. I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow." Yes, you do. Some of you sitting right there, out there right now, worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And the book of Daniel, it's thrilling because it reveals to us tomorrow. It opens up the door on today. And Daniel is both a personal history of Daniel, and who was a Jewish teenager who was taken captive and taken into Babylon. And it's also a history of the Jewish people during their 70 years of captivity there in Babylon. Though Daniel is not called a prophet, a great part of his book is on prophecy. And as I've already said, the book of Daniel records for us the course of the history of the Gentile nations. Every one of those Gentile nations that have encompassed or have had kingdoms that covered the known world at that time. It covers every one of them from Daniel's day to the present, and right up to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And as we compare the book of Daniel to history, to Josephus, who was a historian, a contemporary later, not a contemporary, but a little few years later than Daniel, he records that everything that Daniel had written down took place. Because Alexander the Great, who took the Grecian Empire, or took the little nation of Greece and made it a world empire, when he came in to conquer Jerusalem, some of the rabbis took the book of Daniel out to Alexander and said, "Did you know that God mentioned you in this book a couple centuries ago?" It amazed Alexander. All of these prophecies that Daniel has prophesied have come true. And it's not a book of gloom and doom. You know, some people say, "I don't want to hear the book of Revelation. Don't you teach me the book of Revelation. I don't want to hear it. It's nothing but gloom and doom." Well, Daniel's not gloom and doom. The book of Daniel ought to be a tonic, a mighty tonic for every one of us, a tonic for our faith. Why, you say, is it a tonic for our faith? Because it describes to us the absolute sovereignty of God. You say, what's that big word mean? It means God's in control. You know, we see the mess we're in today. Oh, my goodness, everything's out of control. No, it's not out of control. God is in control. He's controlled everything since the beginning of this world. And it's not out of control. And that ought to give us faith and strengthen our faith and make us want to live for the Lord a whole lot more. Make us want to be more fruitful and do more for Him, because we see that He's in control and He's bringing everything to its apex. He's bringing it to its peak. And we need to be ready. You know, knowing all of this should make us better Christians. Now, I want to share with you the key phrase that goes right along with this. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, you don't have to turn, but I'll just read it to you. It's just part of that phrase: there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. That's what Daniel told Belshazzar, or Nebuchadnezzar. He said, there is a God in heaven. And that's what we need to be proclaiming as Christians. We need to be proclaiming as a church. There is a God in heaven, a God in heaven that knows all things, a God in heaven that can do all things, a God in heaven that loves us, a God in heaven that cares for us, a God in heaven that wants us to be His children. That's what we need to be proclaiming. The world out here is proclaiming there is a devil. And everything that they say and they do, they popularize and lift up Satan and lift up sin and lift up everything else in this world, ungodly things. And we Christians, we hop along just like that frog he's talking about. Maybe the world won't see us. Maybe the world won't bother us. When we ought to be taking our stand and said, there's a God in heaven, He's in control, and you see this mess that we're in, one day God's going to straighten this mess out. And they say, how do you know? I know, because the Bible tells me so. And I like this quote up there. The book of Daniel is accurate, and it's been fulfilled in minute detail throughout all of recorded history. Now, we're going to Daniel chapter 7, if you want to open your Bibles. And we've covered part of Daniel chapter 7. But I want to look at it again today because it describes the time in which we are living today. We're living in the time of the end. Now, I'm not saying it'll come to the end tomorrow. It may be another 200 years. Or it might just be 2 days. I don't know. We're living in the time of the end. And chapter 7 can be divided up very simply. The vision of Daniel in verses 1 through 14. the vision explained in verses 15 through 28. Let's look at the vision of Daniel there in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 7. Daniel gives us the time period when this happened. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head or in his head upon his bed. And he wrote that dream down and he told the sum of the matter. That means Daniel wrote it down and told us the most important part of what he wants us to know. And what did he write down? Let me get back over there. It blows around when I walk. Daniel spoke in verse 2 and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove, or churned would be a better word to use. The four winds of heaven churned upon the great sea. What is the great sea? Revelation chapter 13 talks about the sea, where the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will come up out of the sea. But there it's talking about the mass of humanity. This time it says the great sea. What is the great sea over in the Middle East? Because here's where all these things take part, the Mediterranean Sea. And there was turmoil. The nations around the Mediterranean Sea were in turmoil. They were being churned by the winds. Now, how many of you have ever seen the wind blowing out of north, south, east, and west at the same time? Oh, my wife and I, we were sitting down cooling the other day out in the yard. It's a good thing y'all wasn't there. I'm not a carpenter. And I tried to lay down some landscape timbers and along my driveway, and I had to cut some angles. And I cut, and I cut, and it's going the wrong way every time. And she said, you're going to cut all these things up. We'll have to go back and buy some more before we ever get started. So we were both hot as one of them hot days. We were sitting there trying to cool off a little bit. I was trying to cool off from being hot and trying to be cooled off from about blowing blowing my stack. Anyway, getting mad at my own self. Couldn't cut an angle right. But anyway, we were sitting there and we noticed the weather vane. You know, it'd point that way a while. It'd swing around, go this way a while. I said, wind's coming from that direction, and then it's switching around that direction. But never did the wind blow out of all four directions at one time. That's never happened. You say, well, what does that mean? He said the four winds of the heaven were churning up the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. It meant that forces were taking place, circumstances were taking place that was causing the sea or all the nations around the Mediterranean Sea to be in turmoil, just boiling like a cauldron. And isn't that what's happening today? When you turn on the news, it's after you get through all the killings in Cary and Raleigh, and I'm sorry if you live in Cary or Raleigh, but of course that's the only stations we get. It's going on in Greensboro too, I guess, in Raleigh, but High Point. But after you get through all the wrecks and the killings and the robberies and the rapes is going on locally, what do we talk about? It's talking about what's going on in Syria. It's talking about what's going on in Libya. It's talking about what's going on in Israel. It's talking about what the Palestinians are doing. It's talking about that turmoil, the boiling that's going on as the circumstances of God's providence begins to stir up those nations like Daniel saw them stirred up. Okay. And as he watched it in verse 3 of chapter 7, four great beasts or animals came up from the sea, diverse one from another, different from one another. Daniel stood there and he saw that sea just boiling like a witch's cauldron. And then out of the midst of it began to come these, he called them beasts. They were so horrible. And of course, you know what they are. We've already studied those. They describe the four great Gentile kingdoms, not any kingdoms to do with the Jews, but the four great Gentile kingdoms that have ruled the known world around the Mediterranean Sea, and also the kingdom that will arise, the kingdom that will be when Jesus comes again. You know, he gives them the first was like a lion, and another beast, the second was like a bear, and another like a leopard. And then I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth. It had strong iron teeth and brass claws. These are all nations and empires, and we can better understand those if we just run over to Daniel chapter 2. Turn over to Daniel chapter 2. Now, Daniel in chapter 7 saw these visions when Belshazzar was the king. But a few years before, Nebuchadnezzar was the king. And Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that nobody could interpret. Nobody in Babylon could interpret that dream. Fact is, he didn't want them to interpret it. He said, you tell me what my dream was, and then you tell me what the interpretation was. Nobody could except Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 2, it talks about what Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw an image. And if we got that image over there, let's go to it. Okay, this is what he saw. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he saw a big image. And he said the head was of fine gold. He said the chest and the arms were silver. The belly and the thighs were made out of brass. The legs were made out of iron, and the feet and the toes were made out of clay mingled together. And this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream was the coming Gentile nations that rule this world, already have been. The head of gold was Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and others. And then after they passed off the scene, there came another empire. It wasn't as impressive as the first Babylonian empire because gold, you see how this descends? Gold, silver, brass, and iron. Gold being the most expensive, then silver, and then brass. Each empire was great, but it kept going down and down and down. The second empire was the Mede and the Persian Empire, which came after Babylon fell. And then came the Macedonian Empire, the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. It came up after the Medes and the Persians. And then it was the Roman Empire, the legs of iron. You say, how do we know that's the Roman Empire? Because Rome conquered Greece in 63 B.C. And after Rome had been in power a few hundred years, it didn't really fall. The Roman Empire kind of split up. You've got the Western Empire and the Eastern Empire. And then that's represented by those legs, the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire never really fell. The Roman Empire just kind of dissolved away. But it's going to come back, and it will be the feet and the toes of clay. And that will be, how many feet and toes you got if you're normal? Don't have any of them cut off. You got 10. Not 10 feet, but you got 10 toes on your 2 feet, 5 on each one. And in Revelation chapter 12 and 13, you remember, we studied about there will be in the last days a 10-nation confederacy. That are the toes. that will come out of a revived Roman Empire. So thousands of years ago, God predicted each one of those things. I mean, you get some liberal Bible commentators and some liberal preachers, they'll tell you, oh, Daniel wrote that book after all of this happened. No, he did not. We have archaeological evidence that Daniel wrote this book before any of this happened. God gave it to him, and it happened just exactly like God said it would happen. Okay. Let's go back now, if we will, to Daniel chapter 7. Go back to chapter 7. That's the vision that Daniel saw. Those beasts that he saw represent each one of those empires. Babylon, the Medes and the Persians, the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, and the Antichrist Empire, the toes and the feet that are yet to come. Okay, Daniel chapter 7. Let's go back and let's look at the interpretation of that. I can tell you what it is, but let's see what God's Word says. In verse 15 of Daniel chapter 7, Daniel said, I was grieved in my spirit. He said, I saw these things, but I was grieved in my spirit because of these things that he saw. He did not understand what he saw. And verse 16 says, I came near unto one of them that stood by. Stood by what? Go to verse 10. Go to verse 10. Let's start at verse 9. Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down or set down. What thrones? God's throne. Because God's throne's going to come right after those feet. All right. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Ancient of Days means somebody that has no beginning, somebody that has no end. And who's the only person in this world that has no beginning and has no end? Almighty God. I beheld till the thrones were set down, God's throne here on this earth, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow and hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame and his wheels as burning fire. You say, why is God's throne that way? He's describing God's throne set down here on the world after the Antichrist Empire comes. After he reigns 7 years, then God's going to come. Jesus is going to come. He's going to set up his throne on the earth. In the beginning, it will be like a throne of fire because he's getting ready to do some judgment. Notice verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And thousands ministered unto him. That's you and me. Whenever the Lord comes back to this earth, you and me, you and I, however the best way to say it, we're going to be ministering to him. We're going to be in that great throng that comes down. But notice, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. There's a bunch of people standing before him for what? Now, you may be reading another translation, and let me tell you right now, some of those other translations don't get it right. I'm not a King James man that I just say it's got to be King James, but some of these newer translations, they don't translate it like it's supposed to be. And here's how it's supposed to be, just like it's written here. These 10,000 times 10,000, that's a mass of people, stood before him. Before who? The Ancient of Days. They stood before God, and the judgment was set, or the court was opened. That's the way it can be translated. The court was open, and the books were open. It describes the judgment of God. We need to stop and think about that. Because we are living in the days when those toes are beginning to form. We hear about the United States of Europe. We hear about, we talk about Euros, and we talk about the European Union, the European Common Market. It's all about Europe. Even politicians are telling us now that some here in the United States would want to set our nation up on the ways that the European Union is set up. And it may have to be that way, but these toes are coming together, and 7 years after these toes come together will be the judgment. There'll be several judgments. Don't let anybody tell you there's just one general judgment and everybody's at that general judgment. No. The nation of Israel is going to be judged in Matthew chapter 25. That is the Gentile nations in Matthew 25. There will be a judgment of the nation of Israel. There will be a Christian judgment when we stand before the judgment seat of the Lord. You say, I thought you said, preacher, my sins were forgiven. I won't have to be judged for my sins. No, your sins have been forgiven, washed away by the Lord Jesus Christ. But what have you done with your life? What have you done with the talents? What have you done with the treasure that God has given you? Have you used it for His kingdom? Have you used it that other people might come to know that there is a God in heaven? We Christians will have to stand before Him and hear Him say, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you witness to that person when you had the opportunity? Why didn't you pray with that person? And it'll be how many crowns we get, how many jewels will be in those crowns when we have our judgment. But then there's that great white throne judgment in Revelation 21, the judgment of the unsaved. I'm not going to be in that one. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you will be in that one. And so Daniel sees the judgment. As his vision is being explained, he was troubled. And he came near in verse 16 and asked one of them that stood by the Lord in verse 10, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, here's the interpretations, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth, four kingdoms. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. The saints of the Most High. I know this interpretation is talking directly to Israel. Daniel is talking directly to the Jews. But we also are engrafted into the vine, and we are the saints. And what he's telling us, there's going to be these four empires. There's going to be those 10 toes, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation when the Antichrist, the false prophet, they're going to put to death everybody that accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior. But he said, don't worry. But the saints of the Most High, in verse 18, shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. What's your future? I don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow, but I know sometime out there somewhere, I'm going to be part of God's kingdom. I am now. His kingdom lives within me right now. But He's going to come up and set, He's going to come back and set His kingdom up here on the earth. And it will be a kingdom on this earth forever and ever and ever and ever. That's the future. That's the rise and fall of the world. All these other four have already come, have already fallen, just like it's been predicted. But those 10 toes are yet to come. Revelation 12, Revelation 13. There will be 10 horns, 10 heads, which represent 10 kingdoms that's going to come up in the last day. And there will be a little horn, as you read on in Daniel, that comes up out of those 10 kingdoms in the last days. He'll have eyes, which means he will be intelligent. He will have a mouth, Daniel said, speaking great things or pompous things. The Antichrist will arise out of those 10 toes, out of those 10 nations that are forming and coming together right now. Let me read you something else. Go to verse 25. Okay, let's read 23 and we'll close. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and tread it down or trample it down and break it to pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom, which kingdom he's talking about? The fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, which will be revived. And the 10 kings out of this the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse or different from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great or pompous words against the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. The Antichrist will try to change the times, the laws, and the worship of the Jewish people. And they shall be given into his hand. God's going to let his people, the Jews, be given into the Antichrist's hand. Listen to verse 25. Until a time and times and the dividing of time. You say, what does that mean, 3.5 years? Time is one. A time. And times is two. So 2 and 1 is 3. And the dividing of time, 1 divided is 1/2. So you got 3.5 years. That's how long the great tribulation is going to last. That's how long the Antichrist is going to have hold of that whole Middle East, the time he's going to control the whole world. Daniel said it is coming. Daniel said it was coming. But notice verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominion shall serve and obey him. That's what's coming. The world as we know it is going to come to an end, but God is going to make a new world where we, his saints, will reign with him. And Daniel was grieved. He was bothered. He was disturbed when he saw these things happening. And should not we be disturbed? I mean, everything that Daniel prophesied that the Lord gave him has taken place. We've had the four kingdoms. The toes are being formed right now. And should not we be disturbed? You know, shouldn't it disturb us a little? Shouldn't it make us think about our lives? Are we right with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we doing what we should? Knowing this, that these things are coming together, what kind of people should we be? What kind of people? We should be godly people. We should be saved people. We should be people on a mission. We should be people that every day when we're at work, that we are inviting people, telling people about Jesus, telling them there's a God in heaven, telling them that God can help them, God can save them, God can deliver them, God can bless them, God has better for them. Or do we just ride it through? Knowing we're saved, and then we get there and stand before him, and he said, why didn't you do a little bit more for me? There'll be tears in heaven. He's going to wipe away all of them, but there'll be tears in heaven in the beginning when we realize what we could have done, what we should have done, what we should have been, and we didn't. So let's all stand. We're not going to have a closing song, but I just want us to bow our heads together today. Lord, it matters not what people may say, but we found out this morning right here in Your Word that God's Word, this Bible, is true. We've just proved it this morning. The Word of God is the truth and nothing but the truth. Your Word is truth, Jesus, like You said it is. And we've been shown this morning, these things have already been. We read about it in our world history books. There's been a Babylonian Empire, a Grecian Empire, a Persian Empire. There's been a Roman Empire. But there's coming another fierce empire upon this earth. It's in its beginning stage now as the Middle East is being churned up, as God is making ready for the last days of the world. It may be a long time, Lord. It may be a short time. But it matters not how long it's going to be. What matters is, what are we going to be? What are we going to do? How are we going to act and react? Are we shedding abroad the love of God? Are we telling people about the wonders of Jesus' love? About what He can do for them? How they can be delivered? How they can be set free? How they can be forgiven? How they can know that when all of this takes place, we won't be here. We'll be out of here. Because, Lord, You're going to come back and get us before all this takes place. And we can know this, just like the Bible has told us, that You're coming to take Your church, Your bride, those of us who believe in You, back to heaven before all of this takes place. So, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, examine our hearts this morning. Are we what we should be? Are we doing all that we can for the kingdom of God? To bring people to Jesus, to bring people to church. Are we using our time and our talents and our treasures for Your glory? If not, Lord Jesus, right now, as we bow our heads together in this place, Lord Jesus, we pray that You'll help us to be what You would have us to be. That, Lord Jesus, You forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our complacency. Forgive us of our failures. Forgive us of our faults. Come in and live within our bodies and our hearts and our minds. Send us out to show people in this world the love of Jesus Christ. Thank You for giving us the warning. Thank You for giving us time to get ready. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your precious Word. May it be our constant companion. May it be with us day in and day out, all through the night, to encourage us and bless us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.